that bitch.
Hello and welcome back, bitches, to The Real Bitch of Bravo with yours truly, G. Hey Wiley here. I know it's been a long time coming, so I really apologize for the delay, you guys, on all the episodes and the randomness. I will try to get my shit together and get you episodes out either every Thursday or every Friday or both. So that is my goal. But to the loyal bitches out there, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. Let's fucking get into it. Guys, this is a bitches episode overload. I'm going to recap everything. And by everything, I mean everything. I even watched The Golden Bachelor, and I'm going to get into that really, really shortly. I am so excited, actually, to get into The Golden Bachelor. I wish I can get into it first, but I'm not going to do that. For all you Bravo fans out there, we're going to get into Real Housewives of New York first. Before I do that, I just found out that Jenna Lyons, the beautiful, wonderful Jenna Lyons, grew up in Palos Verdes. For all those that are listening that actually live in the South Bay, we all know where that is. For those that don't and are listening in middle of nowhere, wherever you are, again, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. That's only like 20, 30 minutes, depending on traffic. We all have to say that in LA. But that's only like 20 or 30 minutes away from where I am sitting in right now. So, which is crazy to me that she grew up here. So Jenna, I'm sorry that all those people made fun of you back in those days. They were idiots. But look where you are now. Fully loved and can do no wrong. Speaking of do no wrong, Real Housewives of New York can never do any wrong when they bring the fucking drama, even how little and petty it could possibly be. We start out this episode of Real Housewives of New York with basically Uba and her childish behavior. I know that some people are on Team Uba and not a lot of people are on Team Erin. I said from the very beginning, I'm Team Erin and I am Team Jenna Lyons. I stick by that. I was listening and slash watching Two Teas in a Pod, like I loyally do. Shout out to that podcast. They are amazing. Teddy Mellencamp. Again, maybe I just am a huge fan of and a proponent of the downtrodden and people that just get hated on a lot. I don't know what that is about me, but I love Teddy Mellencamp. And she's totally right. She moves the needle. Without Erin, you wouldn't have anybody moving the needle. Somebody would have to move the needle. And she's the one that does that for the Real Housewives of New York. So kudos to you, Erin. Keep doing what you're doing. Collect those checks, honey. You're making shit happen for the Real Housewives of New York. That being said, Uba basically puts Erin on a timeout, and Erin continues to cry over Uba's childish behavior, which I do think that is childish behavior. I think both of y'all are being childish, but and both of y'all at fault. So one thing I will give Brynn, she definitely was like, look, you're to blame. You're to blame. Figure it out. Squash the beef. Like, it's not that deep. But this keeps going on. And then finally Sai makes the girls head to the bar to go get some rum punch at a bar and then get lunch thereafter. The girls arrive at Elvis's bar, which is the original rum punch. And then Sai goes in and she pours fireball shots. Don't get me wrong. I can see Sai being a hustler as a bartender, but as a bartender, like, oh, honey, you got to do more than pour fireballs. But I bet you she might have been at I don't know which one she worked at in New York. I also used to work in New York as well. And I've been a bartender for over 20 years. I think that, like, if you work at, like, a hustle bustle club, Sai is your girl, man. Like, that's a bartender I would probably hire as well. But if you work at, like, fine dining, or if you worked, you know, someplace where it's a little bit more mellow, like, you're not working at a Coyote Ugly, right? You're working at maybe a high-end steakhouse or something like that. Sai is not the bartender you want. But I can appreciate the hustle, Sai. And I appreciate the fireball as well, because I love me some fireball. I know I'm like in the minority. Again, I think I like the downtrodden alcohols. I like the downtrodden people. I like the downtrodden period. So I always root for that. Jessel gets forgotten not only by the bartender, but also by Erin. She gets forgotten by Brynn, and I think it's hilarious. And I don't think it's like on anybody's fault, but like, no offense, Jessel, you are kind of forgettable. Funny, but forgettable. So I just thought that was fucking hilarious. Then we get to Uba's alarm going off, and then we obviously get back to the sunglasses situation. I think it was childish of Erin to be like, I want somebody else to touch the sunglasses before I touch the sunglasses. So Yeah, I don't think that that was necessary. And then Uba goes off on her men. Like, I will say this. They all said in the very beginning, I think when they, before the season even came out, they were like, you don't want to activate Uba. And they weren't wrong, because Uba basically calls out Aaron for everything that she says. She says that, like, and this is also in the hot tub as well, but she like goes after her for calling 4 months prior to them sitting down and having lunch and going on this girls trip. And she basically calls out Aaron for calling Bryn a social climber. And she said she was social climby. I think this is where, like, you're going to get a lot of issues when it comes to that language barrier, I guess. But it's just, it's still kind of ridiculous in my personal opinion. I love my mom. I'm a product of a foreign born of an immigrant. My mother is from Korea. This was not her first language. She did get taught it in school, but this was not her first language, right? So when we say certain slang things or whatever, my mom doesn't really understand it. Like, my mom would never know what Liddy means. Like, she doesn't know. She barely knows what gnarly means. And like, she's been in this country since the 70s. So I get the language barrier, and I get, you know, that there's going to be times where like you don't understand and whatever. But I don't think that that's going to be as much of an excuse as we get later down the road. Like, you have Google now. Like, my mom is 75, so she ain't looking at Google. But Uba, you're young enough that you can look at Google and like educate yourself. Maybe you just don't give a fuck. There's a lot of people that shocked me, by the way. I was having people over. We were listening to Prince. Like, Party Like It's 1999 came on, which is one of my favorite songs from him. And other than Purple Rain, I know, like, Basic Bitch, love Purple Rain. But which, by the way, that's not heavy metal. Just putting that out there for all those that know that that inside joke, Jessel. And I love the fact that he's a deadhead too, by the way. It's amazing. Love you for that, Gabe. Anyways, going back, like, they came in, we're like, these kids came in that like my boyfriend had met or whatever. And he was like, yeah, just come over. We're all having a party, whatever, like from the bars. And then he... we're listening to Prince. They're like, oh my gosh, my jam. Who is this? I just was like, you have Google. How do you not know who this is? Like, I don't get it. I don't understand the kids of today not being able to Google. This is information at your fingertips. I'm not going to show you guys it's my mom, everybody that can see that. But this is information at your fingertips. I don't understand how you don't. I Google everything. I Googled Jenna Lyons and where she grew up. Like, it takes 2 seconds for you to do this. Are you that? Like, I just don't get this generation where you just don't Google anything, because I had to go to a library and go and get a catalog card. It was a struggle to look up anything. Now I'm like, fuck, you only have to type stuff in. This is amazing. I Googled this meme that I'm about to post that took me a little longer because I'm old, but like, you know, I'm still able to do all that stuff. So it's just Google shit, guys. It'll just make your life so much easier. Love you, Google, by the way, if you're listening in on this conversation. Going back, so basically she calls her a social climbee. She goes and calls her out for all the things that she said about everybody. And I get it, Aaron is the shitster. She totally is, but she ain't no liar. And I think Uba also calls her out and says that she's a liar as well. Like, she's not lying about anything. She's just a shitster. That's just who she is. And you need that person on your show. You need that person on your cast, because without that person, how the fuck are we going to know about, you know, you not going to catch, or you not going and doing all these things, and her bringing all this other stuff up. I think that Aaron just read the assignment and she's following it to the letter, and she's doing an amazing job. So Aaron, keep doing what you're doing, baby. Keep doing what you're doing. I love it. We then move on. Oh, I wanted to bring this up too, because I am a Black woman and I'm not trying to yell. I will keep my demure voice, my Asian inside voice. I am half Korean. And if you guys hear that in the background, I'm sorry. I tried to make it so that you wouldn't hear anything, but I guess, you know, this doesn't really connect to my headphones. I tried. Anyways, Uba basically says, I don't believe in that. I'm not, when I'm yelling, it's not like Black angry woman vibes. It's more that I'm passionate. you can be both, sweetheart. You can be both. And also, there's this argument in sports, and I'm sure that you guys have no clue what the fuck I'm talking about, but I'm just going to give you this argument. There's a gentleman called Stephen A. Smith, and then there's another guy called Bomani Jones. Both are Black men, and both are in sports. And this applies to men as well, because when I listen to Stephen A. Smith, it's nothing but white noise. And all I'm listening to is white noise. And I'm just sitting here, like, when Uba opens her mouth and she starts yelling, it's just white noise. And it's just, it makes it so that I don't want to listen to you. So if you actually can just have your argument, but Bomani Jones over here, Sai, is giving her argument, and she's just sitting there going, like, you know what? Like, you don't need to talk to her in that form. You don't need to yell at her. You don't need to poke at her. You don't need to point or anything like that. You don't need to take off her sunglasses. If you just sit there and have a conversation with her and try to calm down and have a conversation with her, then, you know, things can progress a lot quicker and a lot more smoothly than if you're yelling at her. And I 100% agree with Sai. There's a way to talk to people, and that's just not the way. And also, stop perpetuating the stereotype then. Like, you can be passionate and still vocalize your argument. I think that a lot of people can do that. And I think the older you get, the more you should be changing that like yelling is just not going to bring your argument across or bring your point across. So I would love for this Black, angry Black woman thing to like die. Like, I really wish that like women would stop yelling and poking and, you know, whatever. And it's not just Black women, guys, but unfortunately you are going to get stereotyped and pushed into that hole specifically because of that. So maybe just break the stereotype, because we know that you're not that person, right? I'm not that person. I mean, even though I bitch on the show, but you guys are my outlet. But, you know, it's drop the stereotype. Just try to drop the stereotype, which would be lovely. The girls finally are leaving the bar. Actually, Jenna and Aaron try to leave the bar. But I found out due to production, they were like scrambling to try and go to another bar and get permission and all that stuff to film at another bar. And they basically were like, guys, you can't leave. You have to stay here. So that's the reason why, like, because they were going to leave and try to go someplace else, but they obviously wanted to film them having a conversation or whatever. And so because they couldn't do that and get permission to leave and go someplace else, they had to stay at that bar at Elvis's bar and just go to the other side of the bar, which I found like that sucks. Like, it sucks that they can't just like up and leave and go to another bar, because if this was the real, quote unquote, real world, like, and there was no cameras, you can just leave and go to another bar and just be like, fuck you, I'm gonna go to another bar. So hence the reason for the weird, you know, awkward, like, okay, well, let's just take a walk and then go to the other side of the bar, like have some rum and then play whatever, you know, like play, what were they playing? Play Connect Four. They were playing Connect Four. And by the way, I love that everybody thinks that they can limbo, but dude, it is hard as fuck. I think the last time I limboed, I could actually limbo and I like could get pretty low. And I'm 5'9", so keep that in mind. I'm 5'9". So to be able to do that it's a feat, man. So good for you guys. I'm not hating on anybody for not making it past the first level. And I love how these girls like automatically get this other guy to like limbo with them. It was so great. I thought it was hilarious. Especially when like, and I guess people want to be on camera, and especially if you're wasted, like if you're drunk, like you can get people to do a lot. So good for them for having, I don't remember his name, but like, I love the fact that he was there and doing the limbo with them. It was super, super cute. They finally head to Roy's Bar and Grill for lunch. I love that Sai trying to be the peacemaker. It's so sweet. And maybe the reason why I'm on team, I know this is a really sidebar, but like maybe the reason why I'm on Sai and or more Aaron's side is because I can kind of relate to that state of mind. Like, I like the fact that she's like, let's just squash this, let's figure it out. It's so petty, like let's move on. I don't know. I can just relate to that. And like granted, yes, she's bringing up a lot of the shit and she's shit talking and whatever, but she's resolving it at the same time. And she's bringing it to the forefront of the second that she possibly can. She's trying to squash all this shit. Like, for the youngest person on the cast, she's one of the most mature. I mean, maybe it's the New Yorker in her. Maybe that's why I relate. And I just, when I lived in New York, I loved actual New Yorkers, people that were from New York. It's why I dated a New Yorker. But yeah, I mean, she's the most grown up one. I don't know. Maybe it's because she's, I don't know. I don't know the reason why she's the most, she's just the most adult one other than Jenna Lyons. She's the most adult one there. And Jenna Lyons is the oldest one in the cast. So technically that doesn't count. Is everybody else, by the way, confused about Jenna Lyons and her engagement? Like, did she get back together with somebody, or did she get like all of a sudden, like, I don't know. Like there is a gap between filming, reunion and all that stuff, and her possible love life. So maybe, I don't know. I'm anybody confused on that? Please let me know in the comment section. Let me know on social media. I have to know. I don't want to go on Reddit because I'm sick of going on Reddit. It's just, you can go through the rabbit hole with Reddit, especially with the Meredith Marks and Angie K rumors that swirl around, which I do know the rumors, but I'm not going to put them on blast because I'm going to wait and see if that's what actually transpired. And that's what actually, like, the rumors are that Monica is going to say in next week's episode. Moving on to the end of this. Let's just keep it going. Jessel actually cracks a joke. Sai is trying to resolve the sunglass situation. Jessel brings up that Aaron is on route. Is the root of all the shit talking. Shocker. Brings up all the stuff about Jenna not wanting to fly coach, that Jessel lived with her rich uncle, and Uba says that she is not going to apologize for anything. She doesn't regret anything, even though she does apologize and says, "I take it all back," later on. Uba brings it up again at lunch, and Aaron basically leaves before lunch is even served. She's like, "Fuck this shit, I'm out," which I don't blame her, because it's like, let's just put a pin in this for now and then we'll talk later. Like, we don't need this to ruin our whole entire day. Move on. Then Jessel does crack a joke, which was actually funny, about that, you know, Uba says that she wants to get in her PJ, like she should have flown private. They all should have flown private because then she could have gotten on the jet and left by now. She's like, "Oh, I have my outrigger right there." I thought that was cute. I wish she would show that side of her a little bit more. But this is only season one, so I get it. You got to kind of show everything in order for us to get to know you. Bryn opens up a little bit more when Sai brings up her flirtatious nature. Bryn brings up her grandma, or her Mimi, who basically raised her. Some crying happens. Then we shoot back to the villa where Aaron is having lunch. She talks to her father about the fight, talks about how this fight triggered her because she was, when she was in junior high, she got made fun of, specifically in seventh grade. She was called long jaw silver by a boy. And Uba brought her back to that moment. I get it. I get that could like trigger somebody. I don't want to sound insensitive, but like for me, those things, maybe I would probably bury, not necessarily bury, but like I would just forget about it and be like, whatever. Like there's a ton of shit that like I think I've suppressed and like I don't even talk about, or I don't even remember from like junior high that I probably got teased about. I know food was a huge issue for me because all y'all motherfuckers that didn't like Korean barbecue when you were like 12, 13, and now you want to, like now at like 40 something, you want to know all my secrets, like fuck off. So stuff like that would trigger me, but I mean, not like, I don't know. It's not like a huge trigger, I guess. Oh, then we get to Jessel busting out her list on her phone as all the rest of the girls come back to the villa after lunch, which I thought was fucking hilarious. I don't want to be on your list, Jessel, but I probably, if you listen to me, I probably already am, because I'm calling you forgettable. I'm calling you, but I do think you're funny. And I wish that we had a little bit more of that. Then we get, also, by the way, the secret word is every time you guys got a drink every time I say, just kidding. You're probably wasted by now if that's the case. I love that. Like the beef is about the phone, by the way, bringing this back like for 2 seconds. I love that the beef is about this phone and she keeps losing her phone. She's the one that's losing it. And isn't she sober? Like, I get if you're wasted and you're like, blah, 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 whatever. I've done that before 8 million times, but you're butt-ass sober and you're still forgetful and losing the phone. So isn't this kind of on you? Like, you lost the phone the first time, and then you're losing the phone again, that Brynn had to go back to the car and like look at the and look for your phone in the little little mobile car or whatever. So some people, like, you talk about accountability, take accountability that you lose your phone a lot, or at least throughout this trip. Then Uba and Aaron do kind of squash the beef. They go to the jacuzzi. Uba brings up the drama again, hence why I said kind of. I'm not going to get all into this, but like, basically, I love that Sai says, can you pass the popcorn, while they have this whole entire diatribe of a conversation all over again, because it's just, it's a lot. It's kind of like when Tamara brings up Jen and her relationship over and over and over, and it's like, dude, I'm done. Like, stop bringing it up. Like, it, and this only happened in one day. Can you imagine if like they drew out this drama? Like, oh my gosh, I'd be so annoyed right now. I don't blame Aaron for going off on her and telling her to shut up in the middle of the jacuzzi. Like, I probably would do the same thing. I'm like, you keep bringing it up. Please stop bringing it up. It's like the $60,000 ring. Stop bringing it up, Lisa. Stop bringing it up, Uba. Like, stop. Like, I thought that we squashed this. I thought we put this off to the side. Like, we're done. Now you keep bringing it up. Like, stop. Like, you can bring, like, you can bring up the other stuff. Like, I personally, like, if this were me, I wouldn't bring up the sunglasses, but I would bring up the other stuff, like social climbing and like all that other stuff. Like, bring that up. Don't bring up the other stuff, which I know that she does, but like, she brings it up as in like, you're trying to manipulate, you're trying to do this. And like, it definitely seems like a gang up on Aaron kind of an episode, which, God, I feel bad for her, because as tough as she looks, trust me, she ain't. She's not, definitely not tough whatsoever. I told you guys it's going to be a long one. Anyways, we're moving on. They go downstairs finally. Finally, like, the beef gets squashed, whatever. Like, the Uba and Aaron go off to the side. They talk it out, hug it out, blah, blah. They, like, go into the villa to, like, go and change for dinner. And they're, like, do a fake yell to each other, knowing that they're, like, they're good. Which I think Jenna brings up. She thinks that they're, like, actually fighting. So I thought that was funny. Then they go for their last dinner at the villa. Sai brings up getting home in time for the sexy time for the hubby. Aaron brings up that Gabe went to go see Grateful Dead, so he won't be there. And I love that Jessel originally said that, like, isn't that heavy metal? And I think that Sai basically said the same thing to make fun of Jessel. And also, by the way, Gabe, you're my kind of guy. I know I said this earlier, but I'm like, anybody that's a deadhead, my kind of guy. And I thought that actually they were closer in age. Him and Aaron were closer in age, but they're like massively apart. They're like a decade apart. I get why he's into the Grateful Dead, and none of these women are, because like, they're probably maybe 30 something. And he's like he's my age. So like, this totally makes sense now. And then they do an outfit thing where they're like, oh, who had the best outfit? By the way, Jessel, though, got to give props to Jessel. That girl brings it when it comes to fashion. Like, you know, she is in the fashion industry when she's bringing all the different fashion. She looked fire. That was probably my favorite outfit of the whole entire trip, to be honest with you. That's one that really stood out. And that's with a model on your cast. Like, Jessel brought it, man. She really, really brought it. I haven't seen, actually, you know what? I'm going to look and see the reunion looks, because I haven't really seen the reunion looks. Let's look, guys. Housewives of New York. I don't know if they even put, nope. Reboot. Here we go. Here are the reunion looks. Right, I don't know if you guys can definitely not see them, but okay. So Uba has this really beautiful white dress on. I mean, Jenna Lyons is just always going to be Jenna Lyons. She's going to wear jeans and she's going to wear her open blazer. Okay, so for me personally, ugh. Yeah, Sai brought it. Sai is the one that looks the best to me. In a golden, shiny little number. And we'll give you guys a little bit of Sai, what she, Sai de Silva, and her, oh, damn it, Sai, you didn't put it in here. Anyways, look it on up. Maybe I'll put it up on social media and just be like, this is my best dressed for the Real Housewives of New York reunion. That being said, guys, next week on Roni, Aaron, Sai, and their husbands go on a double date, and Jessel's no nookie of 2 years gets brought up, and Kay basically says what every single dude would possibly do if they weren't getting laid from their wife in 2 years, they would cheat on them. Does not shock me. Obviously, he mentioned it in a like funny haha little moment. I don't think that he really meant it like that, but like, understandable. Like, if he ain't getting it from you, he's got to get it from somebody else. So figure it out, guys. Figure out how to. And then, speaking of Jessel and Nookie, she's trying to like spice up their life and try to, you know, get a little in the sack, which was cute but kind of cringeworthy, to be honest with you. Then the girls get together to what looks like a version of a drum healing circle. Uba gets a lot out of it, which she probably needs it. She probably needs a little bit more of it, because I think she keeps all that shit in and tries to be a strong Black woman, which, why can't we just be strong women? I'd rather you just be a strong woman. Why do you have to put your race into it? But that's just me. Sai, and lastly, Sai and Jess will have lunch. And this I'm looking forward to, because Sai finally is like, I'm done. Like, your story is everybody else's story. We want to know about you, and you're not even willing to do that. So I'm looking forward to that. That's probably the most epic scene that I'm really looking forward to. And she's also trying to make, or it appears like she's trying to make her story just as downtrodden and regular and, you know, whatever, as, you know, Brynn's or Sai's, where like they grew up poor and they didn't have the next meal or whatever. They didn't have a place to live, stuff like that. It's like, dude, your story is your story and their story is their story. It doesn't make it any, you know, more interesting or less interesting, or doesn't make you, you know, less of a woman who's successful and look at what you've done. Erin is a great example of that, by the way. And by the way, so is Jenna. Jenna and Erin grew up with money. And I only say this not only because Aaron said it, but Jenna grew up in PV. Bitch, if you grew up in PV, you ain't poor. Like, it's a very well-to-do area of Southern California. So she definitely didn't grow up dirt poor. She's not going after every meal, but her story is just as great. It's amazing. Like, look at that. Like, you can still have a great story. So look at the rest of your cast and just be you and just tell your story. I went to school here. Yeah, my dad paid for it. But at the same time, I came to New York by myself. That's it. Like, and then I had an internship and this is where I grew from there. That's your story. And that, it's an amazing story, dude. Like, you still, like, you go to school, you like, you know, I have tons of friends that like their parents paid for their schooling. Their parents paid for them to fly out to, my mom is a great example of that. I can go into a diatribe about like, my mom grew up privileged as fuck. Like, insane amount of money. Her, like, she asked her mom for a loan and was like, I want to move to the United States. Can you please help funnel my trip out here? Like, so I can move out here. And then she got a job, and then she went on her own after that. Ain't no shame in that game. And now she got married, had kids, like, you know, again, not a bad story, a great story, actually. Somebody that like, decided, I just want to get the fuck out of my parents, whatever, or whatever your story might possibly be. Anyways, I'm spinning. Guys, that was Real Housewives of New York. I'm going to take a really quick break, and then I will be back with Salt Lake City. Told you it was going to be long. Hey guys, I'm back. Real Bitch of Bravo here. G. Hay Wiley, yours truly. And let's get into Salt Lake City. I needed that break, by the way. Very well deserved by me. Just kidding. Anyways, last week on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, shit got really juicy with the lies and the rumors, and a whole lot of drama that just, you know, obviously wanted me begging for more. Who else, by the way, again, leave this in the comments, who else is so psyched for freaking Salt Lake? Like, we didn't need Jen to bring the drama. We didn't need... You don't even need MJK, to be honest with you, to bring the drama. Like, just those four women bring the drama. Heather is a little, like, off kilter right now, but, like, she's still bringing the funny quips, man. I, like, I'm loving the funny quips. And also, by the way, I'm done with Mary Cosby. Mary, you don't need it financially, the show. You don't need the show financially. I know you don't want to be there. I mean, you don't participate in anything. Like, you hate all of them. It makes no sense for you to be there. I mean, maybe you were there to support your friend. But even you weren't supporting her by, like, standing up for her or, like, any of that stuff. So, like, I don't know why you're there. I don't get it. Like, I wonder who, like, said, you need to be here, Mary. We need you on the show. Please be on the show. Like, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. Anyways, I'm probably going to keep going off of that because I did write that in my notes a lot. So I might go back to that, guys, about not needing Mary on the show. Also, who agrees with me, who doesn't agree with me, who wants to keep Mary on because she goes to McDonald's and makes the show like a little lighter because of that. But I just think that she's rude and she's a fucking bitch. Be on this show, dude. Like, Mary, if you want to be on this show and just bitch about all these women, I think that's what you should be doing. I don't think that you should be on the show. You're just not a nice person. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm sure you wouldn't want to be on the show because I just called you a mean person, but like, you're not a nice person. And for somebody that's supposed to be in the church, maybe you want to dial that back a little bit. You don't, like, I wouldn't want to go to your church. Like, you just seem really mean and just really bitter and just mean. I don't know, just, man, you're just mean. Like, talk about angry black woman, man. She's just angry. Like, ugh, and it's just so ugly. Anyways, we open up, going back to Salt Lake City and the actual cast, we open up with the girls getting ready for the next day where Meredith is eating caviar, which is so on brand for her. I kind of like it for her. I'm not a huge Meredith fan, but that was pretty classic Mare. She's eating caviar for breakfast. Monica is getting her kids ready for school by FaceTiming them and saying, this is what you need to do. And then Whitney is checking in on Heather, who's puking and rallying from the night before. I've been there, Heather. I feel you. Probably shouldn't have had 5 espresso martinis, but that's just me. Then we get to Angie makeshifting her own t-shirt since she wasn't invited to the trip and didn't receive her own t-shirt from Meredith. And I love the fact that, like, whoever was working at the Trixie Motel was like, oh, you have to make your own t-shirt. That's sad. Like, can we just go on to that? And like, that shade right there, auto shade, hilarious. Then we get to Lisa Barlow joining Whitney, who is in full glam as they talk about the night before. Barlow and Whitney are basically in full makeup already. Whitney brings up the fact that Meredith can dish it out, but when the heat is being placed on her, she deflects and gets out of the kitchen. Lisa adds, also talks about Angie K going in a little bit hard on Meredith as well. I know Lisa's trying to like be neutral, but sometimes you just can't be neutral. It's going to be really, really hard to kind of weather the storm on this one. But Whitney ain't wrong. Meredith definitely needs to she needs to own up to like certain behaviors that she gives, like, or that she says, like certain things that she says, and then like own up to that and just be like, look, I was in the wrong for saying that. Or no, I stand by it. Like, deadass, I stand by it. I'm good. Like, I don't need you in my life. And like, I don't need you in my life, and like, move on. Deflecting and going on. Now, what's happening in your life is tragic and that fucking sucks, but you're still here, bro. Like, you need to that has nothing to do with your, I mean, maybe it affects you more, I guess. I don't know. Like, for me, that wouldn't have any, like, that wouldn't really have a lot to do with like the conversation you guys are having at the in the moment. So that's not really something I think that I would bring up. I don't know. It's a common theme, right? Where she's like, she deflects and says like, well, I'm worried about this, da da da. Like, I'm not like, then why are you here? Then don't be here. You know, I don't know. It sounds insensitive, but it is a common theme that she does go through. And Whitney's not wrong on this. However, Whitney, you got to work on your timing for this. I mean, it makes for great television, so I'm here for it, but you got to work on your timing. If this was like without cameras, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't bring it up. You know, you would bring it up on the side and be like, dude, why are you dishing it out? But you can't take it. Like, you have to be able to do both and, you know, be accountable. But I would say it later on. That's just me. Anyways, then we get to Meredith and Monica meeting up before the group gets together and they talk about the night before. Meredith thanks Monica for having her back, which I thought that was actually really sweet. I know that a lot of shit's about to hit the fan with Monica, and she's about to get into a lot of controversy via this episode, but I still like her. I can still dig it. I can still dig it because she's honest. She's just being honest. And she's like, these are like first impressions of all these ladies that she has of them, right? She hasn't gotten to know you as well. And I think also you're not really trying to get to know her as much, I think. So not all of you, but like, you know, going out to lunch with her once in a group setting is not getting to know her, Lisa. Like going out to coffee and maybe like spending time with her and her kids or something like that. Like that's a little bit more intimate. This on the surface stuff is very Lisa Barlow, and it's fine. Some people are like that. Some people are shallow. Some people are, you know, that's just not my person. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't have to get along with everybody in the cast. That's why it's a reality show, and it's great because you don't have to get along with everybody. The more that you don't get along with somebody, the more we're going to watch. It's going to be great. It's going to be amazing television. So we then get to the girls getting together to do some trust exercises. Angie K just proves that she deserves her snowflake after the t-shirt and shading Meredith. His reaction is obviously going to be no reaction. I already brought up, can we be done with Mary? So I'm going to try and not bring it up as much because I know repeating one of my hugest pet peeves is repeating shit or like having shit repeated to me. So I'm going to try and stay away from it for you guys. But I will say this. Mary Crosby can, she can leave in the famous words of Meredith Marks. I'm very okay with her not being there ever again. And she also doesn't participate. Like, what's the point? Like, why are you there? Why are you even attempting to be there? Then to be honest with you, I wasn't really fascinated with the trust fall thing or whatever, the trust exercises thing that they did. It was whatever. It's kind of a nothing burger for me. But during lunch, after the trust exercises, Whitney takes over and announces that she's bored and that she is hosting a drag show with all the women. And once they find out that they have to do their glam themselves, Lisa Barlow throws a conniption to all the ladies and to production. This is just that, like, this unfortunately, Lisa, is exactly what Monica's talking about. This is some privilege ass shit. Like, and also if you have money, like this goes to show that you didn't grow up with money. So that I can appreciate. But when you have money, you don't talk about you having money. You don't talk about your $60,000 ring. You don't bring up the fact that she spent $2,500 to bring her glam in and flew her in. You can just say, I flew in my glam and I want her to be here with me when I get, as I get ready, because I don't do my makeup. And I don't do my makeup for everything, you know? Don't bring the money aspect into it. Don't sit there and tell us how much you spend on it, because that's tacky as fuck. Like, that's extremely tacky. So I'm kind of on Monica with this one, but this is going to be Lisa. And also, like, I want to say, have you done this before? I want to say, like, the editors need to like cut copy something like as a reference for us to like know that she's done this in the past. But I guess it doesn't really matter because she's bringing up money throughout the whole entire last two or three episodes. So I guess it doesn't really matter. But I do love how production and the editors did her dirty after showing her getting glam, and it doesn't look great. Like, it looks like really caked on, and maybe that's just her skin, but dude, it looks bad. It doesn't look good. Just like my double chin doesn't look good. It looks bad. I love that there's no crying in makeup quote by Trixie. It was hilarious. There's no crying in makeup. And for all those that don't know what the real quote is, look up A League of Their Own. It's freaking funny. It's a great reference. Then literally only four of the women really brought it to the drag show. Shocker. Mary doesn't bring it. Lisa doesn't bring it because she literally looks like herself. And even though Meredith tries, I don't think that Meredith can try hard enough, because Meredith's just going to be Meredith, right? She's just going to be that person that's like, I put on the eyes, like no wig, like nothing, like, you know, so I give Meredith a pass a little bit because she's just dry. That's just who she is. And Mary's boring as fuck. So like, she's never going to be like I could never see Mary in drag. Lisa, on the other hand, I know that you don't like themed shit, but come on, honey, you're there. You might as well just get into it. Put on a wig and then you can have the rest of the makeup. Doesn't matter. Right. Because look at Heather's a great example of that. She put on a wig and then put on like all the colors. boom, she's in drag. Because she had regular makeup on. She didn't have, like, this outlandish holy crap. Like, she was not Monica. Like, Monica went balls to the walls out. That bitch deserved that crown for sure. Then the ladies go out to the bar after Monica gets crowned by Miss Trixie. And this is why Sprinter vans are great for reality TV, but they're bad for these bitches' relationships. Sorry, we're going to be hearing a truck go by. Stinking trash. I live right by a bar, so it's their trash day. So I apologize again multiple times for the noise in the background. So we get to the Sprinter van, and Monica and Lisa Barlow get into it. And I'm not going to lie here. I'm here for it, Monica. I'm here for your drama and your shit that you're sitting there and talking to Lisa Barlow about. It was fire. She's not wrong, though, too. Lisa Barlow's saying, like, I think when they actually get to the bar, she's saying the 1% of the world doesn't live like you. And she's like, middle America does own $60,000 bags. I'm like, wow, dead. I'm dead. Because middle America is struggling to go from paycheck to paycheck and is dealing with hiking gas prices. The last thing on their mind is buying a bag. That's literally the last thing that's on their mind right now, Lisa. If you watch anything on social media that's outside of your little bubble, maybe you need to get outside your bubble. You know what I think that they should do? They should, like, just like they did a reality show with Sonia Morgan and with the Countess, they need to have Lisa Barlow and Meredith Marks do the exact same thing. Let's cast these two bitches, and then they can find out really how middle America lives. Because, I mean, granted, that's like lower middle America, but that's still middle America, man. That's like middle of nowhere America, flyover state where they have to rely on their resources there. Like, they're not going on Amazon, or they're not, there's no Louis Vuitton store. There's no Gucci. Like, they don't have the amenities that you guys have in Salt Lake. Like, please, Bravo, do this for me. That I would watch. I would watch, because I don't think they can adjust to that. I don't think that they would know what to do and that they would be willing to. I think it won't happen because they won't be willing to do that. And Lisa wouldn't be able to bring her glam. She might have to. Well, we should buy Lisa. Well, we shouldn't even buy her, but she should purchase herself a how to do her makeup. Like, get somebody to teach her how to do her makeup. Maybe her glam can teach her one day how to do her makeup. I don't know. But yeah, middle America does not spend 60 grand on a ring, Lisa. Like, you're from New York, sweetie. So, like, I don't think that you should get it. But yeah, they don't spend $60,000 on a ring. As the girls go to the bar, though, ooh, wrong pipe. As the girls go to the bar, I do like the fact that Mary does stay and go to McDonald's, because that's my type of gal. I have McDonald's literally back behind me. I'm going to eat it once I'm done with doing this. You guys, Mary, that I get that. That was funny. Still could live without you being on the show. So sorry, not sorry. Whitney, being the good housewife that she is, though, she starts up again and goes to talk to Meredith. And this is what I'm talking about, where, like, there's a time and a place. And Meredith just kind of goes off on her while she's standing there at the bar, and basically talks about, like, if you can't stand the heat, like, you need to be accountable and stuff like that. And then she brings up, here's where it goes sour, is when she brings up the kid and brings up the cousin or the nephew or whatever. Like, that's when it goes sour. It's like, whenever there are children involved, I probably would stay away from it, but great TV. Great TV. And I love, and again, Heather is bringing the Mary Cosby charm as well by saying, Mary is missing out on all of this fun. I could, like, all this trauma she's missing out on. Why is she not here? Heather, I love you for that. Love you for that. Angie and Monica get into it. Angie basically calling her an assistant and saying that she did get paid in her confessional. Monica striking back and saying everyone did favors for Jen. Everybody was Jen's assistant, except none of us got paid. And again, this is why I love Monica, because she ain't wrong. All y'all did favors for Jen. Angie, you opened up your home to her, and you're the one that got paid. So good for you, I guess, for Coach Shaw's birthday last season. You know, all these other women have definitely attempted to do favors for her, take her out on trips and whatever. Jen has done the same for them. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I don't think that she wants to be, I wouldn't want to be associated with Jen. I guess Elizabeth Holmes thinks differently, which is awesome. Good for her for, you know, I guess befriending another major con artist. I don't know. So they get into it. I mean, that friendship is definitely teetering on the edge. I think they make up next week, which brings us to next week. Hope you guys had an amazing time watching this episode, by the way, too, because I did. I mean, again, they bring it, man. Salt Lake City brings it. They don't even need extra cast members in there. Salt Lake by themselves can just bring it. The original cast, that is. But next week on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Heather talks to her girls about sending them back to school and that she's worried because of the bullying. Then, which for some of them, I'm like, honey, you just got to let them be. Like, it just kind of, it sucks, but you're not going to be able to protect them all the time. Whitney then brings up to Meredith also that she has, Whitney brings up that Meredith told her information that she has all this information on Angie, and she tells this to Monica while they're sitting down having lunch or drinks or something. And then Lisa and Monica get into it at the Vita event, at Lisa's Vita event. I mean, we just got, again, you're not going to be liked by everybody. You're just going to have to move on again, move on from it. I do love though that Lisa and everybody else that like invites people are inviting people, with the exception of obviously the Angie thing, they're actually inviting everybody to the event because we need all of you at the event. As much as you don't want to be there and as much as you don't want to be talking to these women and being around some of them, like that's what you signed up for. So figure it out. Then lastly, at the Vita event, Monica finally reveals what the rumors are about Angie K. And again, thank you, Reddit. Went down the rabbit hole with you. I know what the rumors are, but I'm going to save until next week for you guys to find out and also for me to find out about them as well. And with that, guys, going to another break, which won't really be a break for you, but it will be a break for me, brought to you by Sandbar 66. If you guys are ever in the Manhattan Beach area, please hit them up. They're amazing. We love them. I also love it because I do work there sometimes, not all the time. Not trying to get more shifts, to be honest with you, because I work a ton, but, yeah, Sandbar 66 this weekend is going to be awesome. Lots of college football. If you're into that, lots of NFL football. I think I just repeated myself, lots of NFL games on, and with this Travis Kelce rage, I think that all of you, and Taylor Swift rage, I think all of you will be actually watching football. It's going to be crazy. And then at the same time, amazing food, great entertainment as well. It's like one of the few places in the South Bay that you can go to and get live music and watch live music, acoustic sets and stuff like that. So make your way over there, you guys. You might see me. I might actually be there. I probably will be there on Saturday. And if I'm there drunk, I apologize for anything that I say, do, whatever. But I will be out and about this weekend. This break, again, brought to you by Sandbar 66. I'll be right back with some Real Housewives of Orange County recap. Again, I told you it was going to be a long one. Hello, you guys. Welcome back to the Revenge of Bravo. I know it was a massive break. It was not a massive break again for you, but it was a good McDonald's break. Kind of reminiscent of Mary Cosby, just trying to relive, you know, those kind of days. That order, by the way, that she gave is kind of my order. Fries. It's why I will never be skinny. Fries, chicken tenders, and like the filet of fish. That sounds bomb, actually. Maybe sprinkling a lot of hot mustard and ranch. I'm your gal right there, Mary Cosby. We can eat McDonald's anytime. Other than that, don't be mean to me. Just don't be mean to me. That being said, you guys, let's get into the next Bravo Housewives show, Real Housewives of Orange County. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't really take any notes on this. I'm just going to kind of go off the cusp because it was a lot of repetition, right? It was a lot of ganging up on Heather, which I never thought in the world I would ever say that. She's kind of finally getting her due a little bit, but the amount that people were ganging up on her was so unnecessary, right? I think that you should gang up on her. You should definitely talk to her about the fact that she's hoity-toity as fuck. But at the same time, it doesn't need to be said in Mexico, back in Orange County, back at the party, it was a lot. I think for her, and I think for the audience as well. She gets ganged up on, you know, there. She gets ganged up at the after party. I think the other girls, like, I know it was said that Tamara basically said that they were Heather-matized, specifically Gina. But to be honest with you, I mean, she just probably was like, leave me alone. You know, I'm living my life. Also, here's the thing. Like, she's in a different category of wealth and that the other ladies are. And I totally understand that. I just think that she's also in a different category. Gina said it best, actually, that she's in a different category of getting beat up on already by her mother. Like, you are a product of your environment. You're also a product of your upbringing. Now, if your parents aren't saying, I'm not saying that her mother wasn't loving. She did the best that she probably could in raising her the way that she probably was raised, but doesn't necessarily mean that that's, you know, the right way to raise a kid. But, you know, it definitely affected her. It definitely affected, you know, the way that she spoke to people or speaks to people. It's definitely the way that she treats people. I'm not saying Heather's a bitch by any means, but she's definitely a Jap. And I said this from the get-go. It's not a derogatory, at least to me, it's not a derogatory term. It's just a way that describes who Heather is. She's a Jewish American princess. She's always been like on this level of like, she's kind of similar to what Shannon was when we first got introduced to Shannon, when Kelly Dodd said University of Spoiled Children, which is where Shannon went to school, USC. And for the most part, it kind of is. I mean, I grew up around a lot of people that are Trojans that went to SC, and they grew up ridiculously wealthy, at least by California standards. They grew up very well off. And so they tend to, you know, speak in a different vernacular. They tend to speak down to people, even though maybe they're probably not even trying to do it. Maybe they're just thinking like, well, this is just the way I speak. I have an issue with my boyfriend who always tries to correct me. And when he does correct me, it's like, dude, correct them. That's fine. But don't sit there and correct them in a manner that is demeaning. And I think that that's what Heather does inadvertently. So I'm actually sticking up for Heather on this one. Like, stop bringing it up like all the time, right? Like, I mean, but this is something again that should have been, this is something that should have been addressed, I think, to Heather from the get-go, from like season one of Heather's season one. And it hasn't really been addressed. Everybody other than that, like the Jen thing, stop bringing that up. Done. Obviously for the reunion, that's fine. You have to bring that up. It was a huge part of the show. It was a huge part of the storyline. I know that Tamara, you want to thread the needle, but I think it's just getting a little much, man. Like, just try to sit there and support. Like, you even said it, you had to learn from Vicky first, and you don't want this to happen to her as well. You said your piece, you spoke your piece, let it go. That was pretty much the whole entire episode. I mean, I'm not going to lie though. That circus looked fire. That freak show looked fire. So literally, so good job, Gina, on throwing an amazing party. Wish it was a little bit more drama free. Taylor, one cocktail is good enough for you. No more. I don't know how many you had, but just one drink. Maybe eat before you get there. Yeah, this was just gang up on Heather Day. And like, I kind of feel for Heather a little bit. But that being said, if she leaves Orange County, I'm not going to be sad about it, because you still got Tamara. And as much as you guys give Tamara shit and whatever, like, damn, she brought it this season, man. She definitely, there's a reason why she should have never gotten fired. Just saying. That being said, guys, that's Orange County. I told you, I'm like, this is why I didn't need notes for it. I don't think that we needed to really discuss it. Looking forward to the reunion, even though it's going to be the same fucking shit over and over, same questions. I wish, unfortunately, Shannon got her DUI after the reunion. So I wish that we would know a little bit more about that, where she was, what she was doing, Why she had Archie in the car? Here's the thing. Like, a lot of people are like asking, like, why would she have Archie in the car? But if you've ever been to a small town such as Orange County or even the South Bay, a lot of people bring the dogs. Should they be driving? No, because Uber actually has like a pet, whatever option for your Uber, pet friendly, sorry, for your Uber. But that being said, she probably felt like Renee said in my previous podcast, which have a listen to that, guys. She probably thought, I'm not hammered. I'm good. Like, I can keep going. That being said, again, err on the side of caution, because DUIs freaking suck. They suck to get. They suck to have to go through. It's a whole entire thing. And on top of it, you're a public figure. Like, thank God when I got one, I was not a public figure. Like, I'm still not a public figure. Let's get real. I'm not Heather Dubrow. I'm not going to sit here and believe I am something that I'm not. But that being said, like, if Uber was around, I would have gladly taken that motherfucker and been like, I'll take the ticket. Like, not, you know, not a big deal. This is also a good time to plug me, guys. For those that are listening for the first time, watching for the first time, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is The Real Bitch of Bravo. You can follow me on the social media, Instagram and on Threads and on Facebook at the_real_bitch_of_bravo. Also, follow me everywhere you get your podcast, including Spotify, which is probably how you're watching or listening to this. No, I don't have a YouTube channel yet. I'm trying to figure that out right now. I don't know. Like, I switched over my YouTube from the sports bar, and I'm trying to figure it out. So for now, guys, I will just be on Spotify for the visual version of the podcast or video version of the podcast. So keep following, though, guys. Keep following, liking, all that stuff. Follow me for sure on Spotify. Send me all of your DMs and all that good stuff. I still haven't gotten any inappropriate ones. So thank you, Bravoverse. And next, let's go to the Golden Bachelor. Yeah, that's right, guys. I watched the Golden Bachelor. I have not watched The Bachelor, by the way, since it first came out. Because I was like, okay, I'll give this thing a shot, whatever. And then it just got too whatever for me. It just got too fake, too produced and whatever. But damn. ABC golf clap. They brought it. They brought it. I want to watch this all day long. This is the sweetest possible feel good Bachelor that I've ever watched in my entire life. This makes you want to root for this guy, Gary, like losing his wife of over 40 years, you know, having a gap of like, I think 6 or 7 years where he didn't date. He's not with anybody. And then his daughter is still coming out and pulling him out of this rough time and being like, you still deserve love. Like, this is such a feel-good story. I'm loving it. I am so excited to watch the rest of this. Gary, I'm rooting for you, whoever you pick. I hope that they're in it for the real right reasons. I am so excited for The Bachelor, The Golden Bachelor and the first Golden Bachelor. I don't know about the women. I think that you are patient AF. I'm going to bring this down. These are my notes. So I'm going to bring this down a little bit. They brought their cheesy A game. That's for sure. I mean, you want to be notable. Riding it on a motorcycle is very notable. Whatchamacallit, like making a song up for you is very notable. The first person to sweep them away was April. Sweep Gary away was April, the therapist from Florida, who eventually got a rose. Next up is Ellen, who is dedicating this whole entire thing to Roberta, her best friend, who passed away this year of cancer. They all watched The Bachelor. So, you know, Gary is a good sport, man. There was like some women that I wouldn't have picked. I would have just been like, ooh, but maybe their connection is strong. And maybe like, it looks like he's genuinely into this. So I'm really hoping that not only is this a good show, and it keeps me involved and it keeps me like kind of in trance. Like, yeah, it's like your grandpa. Like, you want your grandpa still to have like a love life. You still want him to find love if, like, you know, his love passed away and moved on, you know. Can't wait for the next episode, Gary. Bring it. And also, I wish that Aunt Chippy could be in every single episode. She was funny. For those that don't know who Aunt Chippy was, she basically was is Jimmy Kimmel's aunt and just wanted to meet him. And she obviously wasn't there to like get a rose or anything like that. She just was there to be like, I just want to meet you. You seem really sweet. She's 84 years old. Like, she took a nap during the whole entire rose ceremony and introduction of, like, trying to pull him to the side and trying to actually get him. So she obviously was there for comedy relief, but I lived for it. It was really, really cute. Cute end on ABC's part. Guys, that was The Golden Bachelor. I know it's really short, but this is just the introduction of all the women and stuff. I think we're going to get to know, obviously, you're going to get to know the women initially come episode 2, 3, et cetera, et cetera, and on and on. It looks like it's going to be an emotional ride. Gary cries a lot in this. Also, I love the fact that Gary's a nerd. He's not like, he definitely was not somebody that was like, he's very like grandpa awkward. Like, I dance, but not well. Like, he's not like a ballroom dancer or anything like that. You know, like, he's very relatable. ABC, you did a great job of casting this guy. So looking forward to next episode next Thursday. I will definitely be giving you guys a recap on that a little bit more in depth once episode 2 airs. But this is like a great introduction to this guy, and I'm super excited for him. I can't wait. I actually can't believe I'm excited for The Golden Bachelor. Like, of all the shows that I'm excited to watch, it's going to be next Thursday, The Golden Bachelor, at I think 8 o'clock. So I'm super stoked for him. Can't wait for it. Go, Gary. Next, we're going to get into Southern Charm. And they bring it, man. They do bring it. They bring the drama. JT talks to his mother a lot. He is a huge mama's boy. And we find out a little bit more about him. We find out that he's diabetic and his mom is very concerned. And he's originally from Virginia. And his mom, basically, he's FaceTiming his mother. So I'm assuming he FaceTimes her every day. Hence the mama's boy thing. And I'm not going to lie to you, dude. Taylor, run. Don't date JT. Like, even if you guys end up like being friends, I don't think I could date a mama's boy. I don't think I could date somebody that, like, his mom is like everything. I think family is great. Being a family person and being very close to your family is fine. But being close to your mother like that, oh no. It's a little much for me. You got to detach a little bit. But he talks about how he makes his living, which he re-renovates Airbnbs. It's kind of boring, to be honest with you. He has a quintessential family life, like no divorces, white picket fence, a dog, cute dog. But JT kind of bores me. At least he brought the drama in the very beginning by bringing up Taylor and Austin's sleepover, which we obviously see later on that is going to be a lot. And poor Olivia. Oh man, I'm feeling for this girl right now. Shep and Craig get their nails done. They basically talk about the awkwardness. Like, if Austin did hook up with Taylor, A, they're not shocked, but B, like, that would suck. Like, that's just bad. And also, this is a different scenario, guys. Austin hooked up with Chelsea and actually dated Chelsea versus Shep maybe went on a few dates with her. And that was it. And Chelsea was not interested in, let's get real, Chelsea wasn't interested in Shep. She was interested in Austin. This wasn't a you take my toys kind of situation. Now, Taylor is a you take my toys situation. Like, we, you know, there's toys over here. No, I want your toy. Like, that's a different scenario. And if this is true, which I think it is, it's not good. We later find out that it pretty much was or is or whatever the case may be. Sorry if you guys can't really see me. Here we go. It's a little bit better. Anyways, then we get to Taylor and Austin meeting up at his place, at Austin's place for in-home IVs. Taylor brings up her criteria for her next relationship: funny, smart, and loves Jesus. Honey, Jesus didn't want you to hook up with your ex-boyfriend's best friend. Just putting that out there from the get-go. She says that she meets a guy at the warehouse. I'm assuming it's a bar. The conversation gets brought up about their sleepover, and that kind of brings an awkward little ick. Definitely because Austin has no poker face. And so that no poker face stems, I think, the whole entire audience, including Shep, to believe you in the wrong, honey. Like, this is bad. This is really, really bad. Kind of goes from there. The girls' brunch gets hosted by Vanita. And my issue with this is that none of the girls know, and they're all on her side. Shit's about to go down. It's going to be bad because they're like sitting there going like, we've been through breakups like this with you and it sucks. And, you know, we're here for you. And they're actually trying to support you. And then this is why girls turn against girls. And because initially why women don't want to be around other women and why they think of them as competition, because you are, you're fucking their best friend, whatever, or their exes or whatever. Like, that is the reason why women cannot rule the world, is because of this. Like, just guys have boundaries, except for Austin. Austin doesn't count. Most guys have boundaries. Women need to have boundaries. And like, obviously Taylor is not adhering to those boundaries. And shit's about to get bad real quick. We move on. Oh, I love the trigger for Olivia making out with a AAA player from Austin. And that triggers him to think about Madison. I just thought that was funny because I'm just like, dude, they're not even together. Like, at least she's hooking up with somebody that you don't know. Like, let that go, man. Like, Austin is so insanely insecure that it just boggles my mind. Boggles my mind. Anyways, especially for being he's a good looking guy. I'm not going to front. He's a good looking guy. But like, dude, you must've had like some shit happen to you where like you are so insecure that like you have to like drunkenly go up. You remind me of an ex of mine. That's all I'm going to say. Moving on, we get to Craig, who starts to fill up his warehouse, an actual warehouse for sewing down south. And then we soon find out that because of the amount of inventory and how big sewing down south is blowing up, he's probably not going to be able to spend a lot of time going back and forth from Charleston to New York due to the overwhelming popularity of his business. I mean, these are like 1% of problems, guys. And like, I'm here for it. Like, good for you. Like, I'm glad that like this little business that you started, you know, in your living room has grown to a multi-million dollar thing for you. But again, these are 1% of problems. I'm not insanely like feeling bad for you, Craig. Rod and Austin meet up for drinks. I guess Rod basically is like somebody that they've incorporated into the group that like has been around, but isn't like their boy. Like, they don't go golfing with each other. They don't like, they see them out and about in the bars and hang out and get wasted together. To me, that's not really a friend, but like a bar friend. It's a bar friend. You're not like going out, you know, with them. They're not hanging out with you somewhere else, you know, like I don't want to say intimate, but they're not going to weddings with you. Like, they're not in that same kind of circle kind of thing. But neither here nor there, Rod finally admits and tells Austin that he went on a date and is interested in Olivia. Again, Austin has no poker face, so he basically just goes up at the okay, which is fucking funny. And he says that he basically blacks out. Austin says that he basically blacks out. But to be honest with you, it's like, bro, you got to get over this. Charleston is small. Like, it is tiny. Like, you know that there's going to be some kind of overlap. Like, you just have to prep for it. And it's been a while, I would assume. I mean, it's been a few months. Like, she needs to move on. And it's just not fair. Like, I hate when guys do this. When they're just sitting there going like, oh, like, I'm so heartbroken. Like, you're like seeing somebody else. It's like, you dumped me. You don't have the right to do that. Like, it's just, that's all. I can't even, there's no words. I have no words for that kind of behavior. I just have no words. Just be a man, go and date, figure it out. Move on for your life. We then move on to Shep bringing Pheasant over to Olivia's parents' place because Olivia is now house-sitting or is the matron of the house or whatever you want to call it since her parents moved to Houston, which, by the way, a lot of people are moving to Houston. It's crazy to me. It's weird. First it was Austin, now it's Houston. I mean, I guess Texas has plenty of land, so kind of makes sense. Then we go to Shep bringing up the Austin Taylor sleepover, which this is going to be, I feel like this is going to be a really drawn out thing. And I don't blame them for kind of like getting to the bottom of this and like drawing this out, because I think we're in episode 3 or 4 now. And yeah, man, I just, you know, that Olivia's heart, like, and her stomach just like crunched in and she wants to vomit. If this were me, I would want to vomit too. I'd say, fuck Austin. I don't care about that, but I would be mad about the Taylor thing. Why can't she be honest with me? Whatever. I get where Taylor's coming from. She didn't want to talk to Olivia about this because she's like, I don't want to hurt you. And I don't know the level of hurt that it's going to cause. But better to be honest than for you to like, for all this shit to happen and her not hear it from the horse's mouth. This is going to be a road full of disaster. We then move on to Olivia calling Taylor to meet up for coffee. Taylor is prepping for her event that she's having at Republic. And she goes to this coffee shop and she's like trying to do that. And she calls Craig at the same time to apologize and invite him to her event, which that's the one great thing about Craig. He can always sweep shit under the rug and be like, I'm good. Like, move on. He also gets it. He's like, you're going through a breakup. It fucking sucks. Like, I get why you lashed out. So he can easily forgive, which is great. That is the one amazing thing about Craig. The other thing about Craig, though, is that he is the Aaron and the Tamara and he moves that motherfucking needle, man. Like, he's the one that's like spitting. He's the one that like is in everybody's ear. He's also the one that like, I don't know why you guys trust him with information. He's like telephone, tell a Tamara. He's like, tell a Craig, tell it everybody. Like, he's going to tell everybody in the group what's going on. I don't know if he's like, he's not a vault. That's for damn sure. I personally would never trust Craig with any of my secret information at all. So I don't know why you guys do, but he brings it. He helps the audience get the information that we want to get. So thank you, Craig. And speaking of this, so then they make up via phone or whatever. And they're like, we're going to talk about it at the event. We'll be fine after that. Olivia then gives Taylor the opportunity to tell her everything. And she just, man, she doesn't do it. She just tells her portion of the story. And even her portion of the story is like heart-wrenching, right? Like, she tells her, hey, you know, we actually, when both of us weren't in a great place with Shep and he wasn't in a great place with you, like, we thought about dating one another because we were each other's comfort. And that's got to be hard to hear, because he goes to his sister for advice and then she goes to her brother for advice. Like, that's got to be so hard to hear. I could not even imagine, you know, hearing that from somebody that's supposed to be your bestie. And then, quote unquote, fortunately, she says, like, but nothing came of it. We just decided to be friends. We thought that it was like a bad idea, blah, 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 and we ended it. But they're still hanging out. They're still friends. And also, if you've ever watched, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the name of the movie. I'll Google it in a second. But like, if you've ever watched When Harry Met Sally, there is a line in there that says that men cannot be friends with women because there's always that opportunity of sex. And no offense, straight men. No offense, they're kind of right. I mean, I can be friends with men because I'm like, I'm overweight and I'm sure that they don't look at me like that. I could be wrong. You never know. A hole's a hole for some guys. I don't want to get vulgar. Sorry about that for those that are just like, ew, that's disgusting. But at the same time, it's like, dude, they like, wow. Boys are going to be boys, man. There's still Taylor. You're a really attractive girl. Like, he's definitely looking at that hole. So just, I think we're going to see that obviously come to fruition later. And Olivia crying for me at the very end, guys, that killed it for me. That broke my heart. Just because she trusted this woman, you know, in her life to be like my actual friend. And that would gut wrench me too. I would probably cry in the car as well. Like, I don't know how I would handle that, hearing that kind of news. And on top of it, Taylor, you didn't tell her the truth. Just tell her the truth. The whole entire time I'm watching this, I'm like, tell her the truth. Just tell her the truth. Tell her that. And then tell her that you slept over it at Austin's, please. Because then it's just going to get worse. And at least she can say, well, she told me. I deprived out of her, but she told me. Now the show's about to get juicy. It's about to get dirty. And I'm here for it. I'm living for it. I'm sorry that you're miserable, Olivia, and that you had to live through this. But I'm so here for it. And I cannot wait for that conversation between all three of them, Austin, Taylor, and Olivia. It's going to be fire. Guys, thank you so much for listening to me, talking to me. If you made it all the way through to this, God bless you. Shout out to you. Shout out to Sandbar 66, our amazing sponsor. And then also, again, don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, blah, 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 all that crap. Also, guys, I told you it was going to be a long one. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Real Bitch of Bravo. I'll be back next week with more of the bitchingness and more of the recap. Love you guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. However you're getting your... Bye!